It was as though he showed me what was happening in heaven. As we were worshiping, it was like this. The best way I could describe it would be like this, misty cloud was rising up before the throne of God. And as it was rising and it was growing and getting bigger. And as it was doing it, the people that were around began to see it happening, and they were running to get into the cloud. And as they did, their hands began to raise up, and they began to worship, and they began to praise. And the Lord said, the worship that reaches here from there has a greater value than the worship that takes place up here all the time. And he said, there's a reason for this. It's because up here, they are in the purity of my presence, and they know nothing but my presence on a continual basis. And up here, they are not distracted by their emotions, by the flesh, by their thoughts, by the natural things of the world. For you see, down there, you have to force yourself to worship through those thoughts and those emotions. You have to purpose in your heart and mind that you're going to worship me down there. And when you release that worship from your spirit, it goes past those thoughts and past those emotions, past the flesh, past those distractions of the world, and it begins to come out of your spirit in a very pure way. And the worship that reaches here from down there has a different fragrance than the worship that is up here. And he says, you need to understand that the worship up here is very wonderful and it's very beautiful, but it's not exactly the same as the worship that reaches here from down there. And he said, the days are short that this kind of worship is going to reach my throne. And the days are coming when the purest form of worship that can exist will be something that you will experience. But the pure worship that comes from your heart now is a type of worship that I cherish. And you need to know, when that kind of worship reaches my throne, it becomes an atmosphere and a presence that the people here want to be in, because it costs you something that it doesn't cost them to worship me. And as we were worshiping him, there was a joy that began to spread in that cloud. And the people that were getting in it, I'm not talking angels, I'm talking about the people, the saints who have gone before us. They were rushing to get in that cloud. And the moment that they got into it, it was as though their hands shot up and they began to worship right along with us. And this, literally, the sound of our worship was heard in heaven.
Be very cautious about who you continue to put your faith in. Ministers, preachers. Be very cautious about who you continue to open your heart to when it comes to preaching and teaching. The Lord has dealt with you about preachers that you are supposed to stop listening to, and you haven't done it yet, because they're mixing truth with too much tradition, and it sounds too good, and you're buying into too much of it, and you're exalting them beyond where God has exalted them, and that's the problem. There are too many preachers that people have exalted beyond the level that God has exalted, and they are looking to these preachers as being tellers of truth, and they aren't. And the Lord says that you better be very sensitive to his voice. And when their voices come on, turn them off. Do not listen to them. Because he's saying that I have not called you to listen to those who mix water with wine. I have called you to listen to those who are speaking truth. For when they mix the water with the wine, They are diluting what the blood has paid for. You better stop listening to people that are more committed to an organization than they are to truth. He says you better start turning these people off. He says you've spent too much time listening to the wrong people, and that has to stop. Because every time that you begin to listen to the preachers that do not deliver my truth, what you are doing is giving them permission to reach into your very souls and into your very spirits to sow seeds of wrong doctrine. And he says, this has to stop. For many in the body of Christ, this is what has hindered your progress in your calling. It's because you're listening to too many voices and allowing them to have too much influence in your life. And again, he's emphasizing, stop it and stop it now. Turn those preachers off. There aren't that many people, preachers out there, I really want you listening to. Because they're preaching things that I'm not giving them. There are but a handful that are walking in the level of truth that they should be walking in. And even they aren't walking in the fullness of the truth they could walk in, but the truth they're walking in is truth. And they are continuing to go deeper into my presence and receiving more revelation from me that they will turn around and deliver to the body of Christ. Again, there are but a handful of voices in the world that I have truly set aside for you to listen to. There are some that would reject this and continue to listen to those that they like, those they have called their favorites. He says it's your choice, but consider where you would be today if you had given heed to truth for the last 30 years of your life. And now consider, where will you be 30 years from now, 20 years from now, even 10 years from now, if you give yourself over only to truth? Though it may seem as such, my anointing does not reside in its fullest on those who mix truth with tradition. I will tell you this. There are more of those preachers out there who are mixing truth with tradition that I have shown them truth, and they have rejected it. There are more of them than you would realize, than you would believe. For you see, many of them have been exposed to truth, and they have turned their backs on it, and they are walking in what they have decided is the gospel which should be preached. But I say unto you, if they do not preach what I established through my apostles in my word, they are not preaching truth. And you need to get it settled in your hearts this night. Turn them off forever if they do not teach truth. Do not let weeds be sown in with wheat in your soul. Do not let this happen. For some, this is going to be hard. Don't tell me who to listen to. I will. For just as Paul would tell those before him who to listen to because of his divine appointment by God, I will tell you who to listen to. Truth will never be perverted nor twisted from my throne. You call yourself my child, but you are receiving doctrine from someone who is not your parent. For if I have not established it, it did not come from me. Yes, there are those who will find this very difficult. But I would say to you this night, you will never go beyond the level of truth wherein you are now walking. The more truth you walk in, the more that you will go higher and higher into me. There are those of you here this night who know people who will not receive this. I would remind you of what happened to Pharaoh and his hardened heart. You have been told that I hardened his heart. Please read my word. I told my servant Moses that Pharaoh's heart was already hardened before Moses ever appeared before him. Some have wondered why I did that, why I moved as I did to deliver my children from Egypt, and why I approached Pharaoh in that way. Do you think that he did not know my reality before this happened? Do you think that he did not know of my existence before this happened? May I remind you that in the land of Egypt, there were millions of my chosen living with Pharaoh. Every day he saw the proof of my existence before his very eyes, and he hardened his heart to what I could do. Read my word, for in my word I say, the day came when a Pharaoh arose that did not know Israel. You must understand that what that means is he rejected Israel and what Israel represented. For he did know them. He awoke to their presence every day. Likewise, today, there are those in my body who have hardened their hearts. This word that I have spoken tonight, there are those who would reject it and will not receive it. And there are some, even a part of this fellowship, who have hearts that have been partially hardened. And I would say to you this night, the reality of who I am is going to become more and more and more obvious as the days go by. Did I not say in my word that my glory would fill this earth? I am first going to reveal myself to my children. And then I am going to reveal myself to the world. I have already begun revealing myself to my children in greater and greater measure. And many are rejecting. Keep in mind what my son said when he walked the earth and what he did. He first revealed himself to his brethren, the Jews, before he revealed himself to the Gentiles. He revealed himself to the Gentiles when his brethren rejected him. Just as I have said that judgment begins in the house of God, in my house, that judgment begins in the individual house before the collective house. And what I am going to judge in each and every one of those who call me their father, I will be judging the truth that you say you live by. And I will be revealing to you that which is and is not truth. For some, they're going to accept it and go forward. Hear me this night. I am speaking to many, 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 many of my children. And I am trying to draw them out of churches that are not going to change. But my children will not listen to me because they have become comfortable in their traditions. Do not think that I lead my children to a place where there is not green pasture and fresh water. I lead them where they can be best fed, but I do not push them. If they do not follow me, they will not be fed what I have prepared. They will be fed what man has taken from me and prepared his own way. You must choose what you are going to do. As I said, those who are not giving you truth, turn them off. Do not allow them to deposit into their spirits the doctrines that did not come from me. Do not allow them to deposit into your hearts what I did not give to them. They will do this through their broadcasts, through their tapes, and through their books. And I say to you this night, do not open yourself up to wrong doctrine. Here's what wrong doctrine has done. Wrong doctrine causes a hardened heart. The more wrong doctrine you receive, the more hardened your heart will become to truth. But did I not say that my word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? If you will choose truth, my truth as that hammer will begin to hammer on the hardness of your heart and break away whatever hardness is there. For some it is much, for some it is little. I say this to you tonight to prepare you, because you are going to be persecuted for the truth you walk in. And this persecution is not going to come from without the church. It's going to come from within. You are going to be persecuted by those in my body who have hardened themselves and rejected truth and continue to reject it. And because you are walking in truth, and because you are choosing a hard thing, which is to lay down the traditions of man and continue to walk in my truth, because you are choosing that, you are going to be persecuted by those around you. There are some of you who have family members, and I would say to you this night, listen closely. Relationships within your family will be severed because they will have hardened their hearts to the anointing you will be walking in. And because you will carry that anointing with you when you get into their presence, that relationship will be severed. You will be seen as the cause. But I would remind you that even my son was rejected by his family when he walked this earth because of the anointing and truth he walked in. Remember what he said. If they have done it unto me, they will do it unto you. Strengthen yourself this night. There are those of you who will shed tears over these things which are coming. You will be hurt because loved ones will turn against you. Strengthen yourself this night and look to me. I will share with you my strength that will take you through these hard times. Think of my servant Paul, for he loved his fellow Jews so much that he said he was willing to be estranged from the cross for all eternity if it meant the salvation of his brethren. There are those of you, your hearts will ache because of the loved ones which will be turning against you. But I say, I will be your strength, and I will be your joy, and I will be your peace. For these things I have already said in my word. Do you not remember that through my servant I said the day will come that there will be a falling away? The falling away began long ago, but it is increasing. My truth will see you through. There are those of you who are going to be challenged to compromise what you know is truth for the sake of what you call peace in a relationship. Remember what my son said. I didn't come to establish peace, but I came to set mother against daughter-in-law, family member against family member. I am a God of peace, and I am a God of reconciliation. But what my son was saying was this: when you have truly become his disciplined follower, the division follows. The separation will follow, and you will be faced with compromise. And I say to you, if you do not compromise, and you continue to go forward with me, I will make up what you lose here in this earth. Did I not say that he who loses the family and the possessions will gain 100-fold more in return? Did I not say that in my word? Prepare yourself now. Sever yourself this night from those who do not deposit truth into you. Cling to those who do deposit truth into you, and receive from them, for they have opened themselves up to me to let me speak through them to my body and to this world. Be strong in me and in the power of my might, and I will help you through the times that are to come. Do not dismiss this, for some of you, you have entered into a time of challenge in relationships with family members. You can walk in peace, though the turmoil will surround you. But you will only walk in peace if you cling to me and cling to my truth. These things that I am sharing with you, they are not my will. But I am revealing to you what is coming because of the will of man. I am revealing to you the results of what your brothers and sisters are going to choose. And I am sharing this with you this night so that you can be prepared and you can be strengthened. Hear me well. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am your friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I am here for you.
You've heard your answer tonight. He said, if you will do this, if you will speak my word, here's what's going to happen. The enemy, as my son said, comes immediately to steal the word that is sown. Thoughts will cross your mind about these things that you're facing. Thoughts of worry or despair. Thoughts of being overly concerned. Thoughts of defeat. Thoughts of it's not changing, nothing's happening. Thoughts of what am I going to do? Those thoughts are not being birthed out of your new nature. Those thoughts are coming out of emotions from the enemy. And he says, when those thoughts bombard you, you must immediately begin speaking my truth, begin speaking my word as it would apply to that particular situation. When you do this, it will be as though in the realm of the spirit that you have engaged the enemy in sword play. His word against my word that you are now using. And you will shut him down. You will injure his plans. When he is speaking these words of doubt and unbelief to you, he's trying to get you to come into agreement with his will instead of mine. But if you will immediately begin speaking my word, even if you're in a place where speaking my word out loud would be too difficult, speak it under your breath. Speak my will under your breath and wage warfare against the enemy. Come into agreement with my word. Use my word to carve out a path on which I'll be able to move and to work, and you'll see me move. You will see me work. You will see things happen that you thought you were going to have to get involved with. But if you'll cut the way for me with my word, I'll be able to get involved and you will see things change. So tonight you've heard your answer. You've heard what you need to do. And remember this. Remember what you have heard tonight and use it. Use my word. My word will never fail. My word will never return void. My word works. The Lord said that your decision-making process can be governed by His wisdom. But His wisdom, it comes in two ways that work simultaneously together. His Word and by praying in the Spirit. And He said, your decisions can be made based upon my wisdom, but you must do what's necessary to access my wisdom. And again, that is through my word and through praying in the Spirit. You don't have to make bad decisions. The day that you give me all of you, that is the day that you will experience all of me. For I would have you know that you are experiencing me on a day-to-day basis to the degree that you have given yourself to me. And there are times when my grace is released, my power and my glory is manifested in your midst for the works that I have decreed to be done. But in your day-to-day life, what you are experiencing of me is a reflection of how much of yourself you have given to me. And the more of you that you give to me is the more of me that you will experience. I would have you know that I am not holding back on you. I am here. I am always, always available and there for you. The more you conform to my image is the more that I can conform into your life. The more that I can fit into your circumstances, the more that I can fit into the things that you face. You see, I give you as much as I can give you. I cannot fit into what you do not give. But the more that you spend in my presence, the more time that you spend before me, the more time that you spend in fellowship with me, the more I am able to work in you. The more that I am able to work in you, the more you're going to know me and experience me. If you do this, you are going to continue to grow. You are going to continue to develop into the fullness of who I am in you and what I have ordained for you to be. Do not forget that I have said that it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The more that you seek after me, the more the Christ in you will manifest. So I would say to you, learn to seek me more than you ever have. Learn what it means that the things of this world should grow strangely dim in the light of my glory and grace. Learn what that means. You have sung it. Now learn what it means. There is so much of me that I want to manifest in you and through you. Much has been manifested, for there are those of you that have come so far into me, much further than you ever had before. There are those of you that have come further into me in the last few years than you had all of your previous years combined. But I would say that there is more. This is an act of faith, a walk of faith on your part, to truly believe that you can experience my glory here on earth. But I would say to you, keep in mind what I set as an example before you. Read in my word, in my gospels. Look at what I experienced here in this world. Look at the glory of the Father that I walked in. Look at the glory of the Father that I experienced. Look at the glory of the Father that was manifested. I would say unto you, that same glory is available. All of that glory is available to you. If you will draw near to me and be committed fully unto me, your change will take place. Accelerate that change by seeking me with all your heart. Let me work through you. Let me perform the works through you. Do not believe religion, which has lied to you. Believe my word. I said that the glory I experienced with the Father would be given to you, and I meant it. So therefore, again, seek me know me, experience me, know my glory, be changed, be transformed, and your life will start reflecting the glory of the Father in you.
This is the place where you need to be. In my presence is where you need to be. This is where I long to have you, my children. In my presence. There is healing in my presence. There is peace in my presence. This is where you get to know me. This is where you get to know my heart. And this is where I long for you to be. So remember how you are feeling right now. Because it can always be this way. If you would just take the time to come into my presence. If you would just take the time to spend time with me. To spend time with me. I just can't tell you how important that is in your life. To spend time with me. Because when you spend time with me, I can bless your life. I can heal all that is broken. I can just turn things around. Because when you spend time with me, you're getting on the same page that I'm on. And when we're on the same page, wonderful, mighty, great things can happen. So I just encourage you. I implore you to spend time with me and to remember what you are feeling right now. The peace, the love, the joy that's in your heart. I want you to remember that. And I want you to experience that over and over again. And you do that as you spend time with me.
For in the days to come, there are those of you who are going to face some great trials. Not because it is my will, but because your enemy has yet to be cast eternally into the lake of fire. There are attacks coming. And there are those of you who are going to face these attacks. And I would that you would hear me now. Listen closely to what I say. Because for some of you who endure these attacks, the only thing that is going to see you through is your worship. I am telling you this now so that when the attacks come, you'll know how to handle it. And you will not need to go to anyone and ask them to pray for you so that you can handle it. I'm telling you now how you can handle it. The only thing that's going to see you through will be your worship. Because you see, in certain attacks, your emotions are hit harder. And it's at those times when confusion can set in and you will not know what to do. You will not know what decisions to make. That is why I say that your worship is going to be the only thing that will see you through. Because as you begin to worship me, it is going to create a spiritual atmosphere around you that will enable me to minister more freely to you. And when this happens, you will begin to hear me, and you will know what to do. But not only will you know what to do, but you're also going to experience my peace. Now this worship, hear me, this worship, for some, it's going to take you more than just a couple of minutes. You are going to have to fight through the junk that is attacking you mentally and worship me whether you feel like it or not. You are going to have to force yourself to open your mouth. You are going to have to lasso your mind and control it and begin to focus on me, no matter how hard it seems. You absolutely must do this. And as you do, you will begin to get to the place to where you will hear me. and you'll know what to do. Now, if you do not worship me, you will fight this thing for a long, long time. Because you see, the attack, it is not to hurt you with circumstances. The attack is going to be aimed at getting you distracted and confused concerning the things that I would do in your life. The attack is going to be directed at you in such a way to try to get you to get your eyes off of me and on what I have called you to do. And I would just tell you this night that through the ages, there have been many, many, many of my children who have succumbed to these attacks, gotten off track, and they have not completed what I called them to do. But I speak to you tonight and I tell you that worship is absolutely the key. Absolutely the key to see you through. Now, I have warned you ahead of time the attacks are coming. So when they come, do not act surprised. And do not act as though you don't know why they came. For I have told you that. It is your enemy. And he is attacking to pull you away from fulfilling what I have called you to do. And I have also given you the solution this night, and that solution is worship. And when you worship me, I want you to worship me by yourself, with no music, with nothing but just your own voice, and force yourself to focus on me. Close yourself off from as much of the external stimulus that you possibly can, so that you can focus on me. And in those times of worship, you are going to begin to sense my presence, and at times it's going to be overwhelming. I will flood you with so much peace and so much love and so much grace, it'll be like you're experiencing me for the first time. So hear me again. There are some of you this night, attacks are coming. And worship is the key to make it through. So I would say to you this night, it would not be unwise for you to begin worshiping me now in preparation. Because if you will begin to worship me now in preparation, and worship me in the days to come in preparation, you will already be strengthened on the inside. And there will be less, much less of a chance of this thing taking you out. So remember what you have heard this night. Remember this. So that when it comes, you are already prepared. I will be there for you. There are those of you who have heard it said by them which seem to be somewhat among you that unless you come into my presence with something in your hand, that I will not receive you. You have heard it preached, a message that says something to the effect of, I would never dishonor my God by trying to worship him without first giving something to him. Oh, how foolish are those words. Well, you see, the ones that have said that have taken verses out of context and tried to make them mean something that they do not mean. Tried to make them relative to you in a way wherein they are not relative and they do not apply. And in some cases, they have used those words, those verses, and said those things to do nothing more than to raise a big offering for themselves. May I take this opportunity to remind you of what my son said. He said to you that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
If you have come to believe that you cannot enter my presence without being prepared to give, then I would like to say to you that it is impossible for anyone who is my child to buy their way into my presence. When you worship me out of who you have become in my Son, when you worship me out of your born-again spirit, that is what I am seeking. And I would have you know that I will receive your worship whether you give money in an offering or not. And I'm going to say this, you had better watch out who you listen to, because messages that have been served up to my children telling them that they cannot come into my presence without presenting to me a gift, they have lied to you. I say it again, they have lied to you. Now there are those who will tell you that this message is not of me, but I want you to know that they are going to stand accountable before me for the words that they have spoken and the way that they have misled so many of my children. Again, I want to tell you that your offerings do not buy your way into my presence so that you can worship me. The blood of my Son Jesus Christ has already paved the way for you to come boldly before the throne of grace and worship me. So I would encourage you this day, do not ever be misled by those who seem to know what they are saying when they tell you that you must give before you can worship, and that you should not come empty-handed before your God. I am not looking at what is in your hands. I am looking at what is in your heart. And so this morning, and tonight, and every day hereafter, come boldly before my throne of grace and worship me in spirit and in truth.
My people, you are my hope in this world. You are my life in this world. Go forth and teach my people. Show my people your love, my love. You are my life in this world. I will be seen through you. I have given you the strength. I have given you the wisdom. I have given you the teaching. Now it is your turn. Go and speak to my people. I am calling them to me. The time is short, and it is urgent. Reach my people. I love you very much. Don't ever doubt that. I love you very, very much. You are my children. You are everything to me. I gave up my Son for you, but not only for you, but for those people that are out there hurting, crying, needing something but not knowing what it is. You have everything that they need. You have my life on the inside of you, and they will see me through you, and they will be drawn to you and want to know what it is you have. And you can show them the truth of my word. Do not be afraid. Do not think you are too young, too old, too immature. You have what they need. Don't hesitate. Don't be scared of people. Don't let people tell you you cannot do it, because you can. I have given you the strength and the wisdom and the knowledge of my word. You have been given everything you need. Listen to my voice and I will give you the words. Reach my people. Reach my children.
Be it known this night that judgment is increasing. Not judgment in the world over sin, but judgment in my house. For I did tell you that this would begin in my house. There is an increase in judgment coming. May I remind you of the story of Abraham and Lot. If you remember, Lot had been with Abraham, and Lot had known truth, all the truth that Abraham walked in all the truth that Abraham demonstrated, all the truth that Abraham knew. But they separated. Think closely as to why they separated. It was because the followers of Lot were in disagreement with the followers of Abraham. And when they separated, Lot chose what he thought was to his benefit. And he truly believed it was the right choice. And if you will read that story, you will see how that Lot progressively moved closer to Sodom and eventually lived there, lived in that city. Remember the judgment that fell on Sodom. And remember how that I had made an agreement, not with Lot, but with Abraham. And in that agreement, I responded to his request to save the city of Sodom. But it was conditional. Conditional based on me finding the righteousness of that day in that city. And it could not be found. And the judgment came. Now think closely to what happened. As Lot and his daughters and wife left, his wife turned and looked back. And when she did, she was destroyed. Now hear what I would say. There are many who have been exposed to truth in my word, and they have read things in my word, and I have spoken to them as best I could out of my word. And they have seen things in my word which they have been told are no longer for today. They have seen things in my word which contradict teachings that they have chosen to embrace. In other words, they have turned toward what looks to be the best for them. And in the process, they have compromised their stand with truth for a stand with corrupted doctrine. And the judgment is increasing. And here's why the judgment is increasing. It's because more and more of my servants are rising up and preaching and teaching truth, which refutes those things of corrupted doctrine. And as the truth is increasing, it becomes the avenue through which the judgment is falling. There are those that some of you here this night know. And the judgment is going to fall on them. In some cases, hear me, hearts have become so hardened that they are going to suffer the destruction of their flesh so that their souls would be saved in the day of the Lord. They are going to die. And it is because they are rejecting the truth that could deliver them into a greater level of walk with me. Be forewarned, this is coming. And do not mourn for those who perish. Your heart will be saddened, but do not grieve over their passing. Oh, I am not killing them, but it is their hardness of heart which is taking them to a place of destruction. A hard heart will walk into traps of the enemy. There are those who are looking back toward corruption, as did Lot's wife. And the corruption they're looking back toward is the wrong doctrine. The wrong doctrine that to them represented the security of their life. You see, that is what Lot's wife was looking back toward. What she perceived as being the security for her life. And she was destroyed. I would say to you this night that corrupted doctrine is no security to anyone. Do not be surprised if some of you here this night learn of someone that you actually love dying. Again, I would say to you that I am not killing them, but their hard heart is leading them away and leading them toward destruction. You absolutely must be focused on me. You absolutely must be focused on my word and my truth. It is the only thing that will be a buckler for you. For did not my son tell you that those who hear his words and do them would be like the person who built his house upon the rock? There are many, many, many in my church many in my family, many of my children, who have built their entire lives and ministries upon sand. Please remember what sand is. Sand is crushed rock. The rock of true doctrine is crushed to produce a foundation that cannot support what I have set forth to be done. Many of you are going to face some hard choices in the days to come. And those choices are going to pit you against people that you thought were your friends, family, loved ones. Because they are going to come against you for your stand on the rock. And they will not understand why it is that you will not stand with them on sand. And as you look down at their feet, you will see their feet moving because the sand is shifting. And the reason for that is because sand cannot support a house. The house that is being built is the house of my kingdom. And it will only rest on the rock of truth. This is going to happen throughout the world. Do not be surprised to hear of ministries entering great hardship. Ministries that have rejected truth in favor of their doctrine of sand because they will not stand. I do not have to tear them down. They're going to fall. They will fall on their own. Because again, I have many servants, many voices who are pressing deeply into me for truth. And as they receive the truth, they are delivering the truth. They will take criticism. They will take pressure. They will receive rebuke. They will experience pride and arrogance being directed in their way. But they will not fold. They will not bend. They will not break. They will not dry up and go away. But they will continue. And they will continue to deliver truth and more truth and more truth and more truth. And again, it is the release of that truth which will bring about the judgment. Because you see, as truth increases, it exposes the lie. Know this night that a new level of judgment has been released in this world. And oh, how I would speak to you and speak to your heart. Do not get your eyes off me. Do not compromise for the sake of a person. For you see, it is possible for you to compromise truth for the purpose of saving another person's life as you would see it. But I would have you know the moment that you begin to compromise is the moment that you begin stepping off of the rock and onto the sand. So be forewarned. I have never and will never compromise what I have spoken. For I have said to you that I never change. Many in the body of Christ will not understand this. They will be confused by it. And the reason they will be confused is because they are walking at a level of spiritual maturity that is far, far beneath the level of truth that they have heard. What I see is not good in my eyes. There are very, very few who are delivering the truth that I deliver unto them. There are some that have actually heard me speak and tell them what they should preach and teach, and they have rejected it. Because if they were to have accepted it and preached it and taught it, they would have lost favor in the sight of man. The moment that you become more concerned about man than me is the moment that you have begun turning your back on me and walking away, in spite of the fact that you profess great love for me. I speak to you all. I speak to my entire body. And I say, you're going to be held accountable for what you have chosen to accept as truth. If it does not line up with what I have declared, it will not stand the test. Look again in my word in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and you will see what I mean. A hardened heart is like freshly poured cement. It does not become hard instantly. There is a period of hardening that takes place. Only with a heart it is possible for the process to be reversed. Some of you are going to face a time when you are going to have to allow certain relationships to come to an end, because those relationships would ultimately lead you to a place of compromise. Your emotions may tell you that you're the one doing wrong, that it's your responsibility to do everything that you can to try and correct this situation. May I remind you that Abraham gave Lot the choice, and the choice that Lot made is what led to the destruction of his family. And so again, know this night, a greater level of judgment has been released within my body. You absolutely must cling to the hope of your salvation. You absolutely must cease the compromise with that which is not truth. Do you hear me? I said you must do it. Think of my son. How many times was he challenged over his doctrine, and yet he spoke truth? How many people turned their backs on him? And may I remind you, he went after none of them. You see, the Christianity that many of you have been taught is not the kind of Christianity that my son demonstrated. Remember, he said that he came to do my works and my will. And he said that the things he did were the things that I instructed him to do. And he said the things that he spoke were the things that he heard me speak. He did not compromise, regardless of what it cost him. And so here's what you must do. Again, cease compromising truth for the sake of relationships. It will not always be easy, but I will be your strength and your comfort during those times. And you must, absolutely must, cling to the hope of your salvation. And you must be willing to turn your back on everything that does not line up with my word. For some of you, this is going to be extremely difficult because you have become comfortable in compromise. But I say, you must examine yourself and correct what needs to be corrected. You see, if I were the God that many people have preached me to be, I would already have stepped in and wiped out many thousands who are in my kingdom because of the damage they are doing to other Christians through their preaching and their teaching. And it pains me to see the way so many have been hurt and they don't even know it. But you, you're hearing this, and you are going to have to make a choice. Stand strong in my truth. Reject compromise. Reject the doctrines of sand. And receive from me an ever-increasing outpouring of my anointing. For I honor truth with anointing. If you will do this, you are going to begin to see, it will be slow at first, but it will come. You are going to begin to see things described in the book of Acts that you have looked for. I say again, it will come. So pursue me. Give me your heart. Give me your mind. Give me your meditations. And let me work in you. And then you make the choices to reject what has held you back and grab a hold of what will take you forward and experience my glory. Watch out for those churches which would make you feel good. Watch out for those churches which preach a gospel that soothes the feelings of people. Please go to my word. Please go to my word. Do you remember the outcome of the first sermon that was preached on that day of Pentecost? Do you remember? Do you remember the response of the people? There was conviction, not comfort. Do you remember that? Do you remember how that their hearts were burdened because of their condition, because of their sin? And they cried out, "What must we do?" And what was the first thing they were told to do? They were told to repent. They were told to repent. But there are churches filled with people who are preaching and teaching for the purpose of making those in my body and those in the world feel good about themselves. I am sickened by these churches. They are not preaching truth. They are compromising the message of the gospel. There is no change emphasized in their spirits, but there is change emphasized in their mind and the way they think about themselves. But I would have you know, I am after changed hearts. Oh, the numbers that are going to stand accountable to me. Why do you flirt with such doctrines? Why do you act as though it doesn't matter when it does matter? Why do you act as though I am not looking? Why do you act as though I give my approval on these things? I do not. They say that they have heard from me. They say that they speak for me. They do not. They speak for the things they have created. They speak to perpetuate what they believe is the message of the gospel. Did not my son say that it is the message of the gospel that would even turn family members against each other? And yet, these churches see no wrong in making people feel good. Would you like to know how to feel good? Press into my presence and know the peace that passes all understanding. It does not come from a church. It does not come from a compromised, watered-down gospel. It does not come from the leaders in the church. It comes from me. Beware of the churches that strive to make people feel comfortable. The only place that you're going to find comfort is in my bosom. The only place that you're going to find true comfort is before my throne of grace. It is not easy to follow me because of the price that must be paid. Churches that have compromised the truth that they know because they don't want to alienate people. And they cannot see that the people have hearts that are not attuned to me. And so to keep them sitting in the chairs of their sanctuary, they refuse to confront them with my word. I would say to you, go back and read the ministry of my son. Read the ministry of my servants, Peter and Paul and James and others. Do you see compromise? Do you see them sharing a message to make people feel good? What you see is a message of correction. Oh yes, they spoke of my love and they spoke of my compassion. But they also spoke correction when the people began drifting away and compromising for the sake of feel good. Did I not say that there would be those with itching ears heaping to themselves the preachers who would say what they wanted to hear? Did I not say that? It is only because of my compassion that I have not dealt harshly with these churches and their leaders. But hear me now, I am angry. You should rejoice that I am love. For if I were not, oh, what you would see. Many of you have looked to other churches and you have thought, look at that. Look what they do. Look what's going on there. That must be the way. They must be doing it right. If you are satisfied with less than the truth and less than the fullness of the gospel, then go to those churches. If you are less than satisfied, if you don't want to experience my glory in immeasurable levels, go to those churches. For you see, there are people whose hearts are already there. Many people do not understand these things. Many people struggle understanding why this happens and why that happens. Why would I speak like this? I would speak like this in those churches if they would let me, but they won't let me. I've spoken to leaders in some of these churches about what they are doing. They won't hear. They knew it was me, but they're doing nothing about it. They see that the price would be too great. I have sent people across their path to confront them over what they are doing, but they continue in the direction that they think is best, and they keep making people feel very good about themselves. There will be weeping, there will be wailing, and there will be gnashing of teeth in my presence. because people were led astray by feel-good leaders, and they never knew the fullness of me in this life. Oh, they will not be cast out of my presence into eternal damnation, but they will finally see what they had been missing all along. Do you think that I am impressed by the numbers in those churches? Oh, I am glad for the souls that are brought into my kingdom, but do you think that I am impressed by the numbers? They are numbers of people that feel good about themselves but know nothing of me. They have defined me with the books they have read. They have defined me with their opinions shared in their little group sessions. But they don't know me, and they don't know how I have presented myself in my word. But here's the thing that should trouble you. There are many of them in those churches who, if they were confronted with the gospel that I once preached, would leave those churches and never come back. It's because they have been trained to feel good about themselves. I can give you more joy, more peace, more comfort than you can know. But at the same time, I want you conforming to the image of my Son. And conforming to the image of my Son can be painful at times because it requires change. And all of these churches out there, they're not requiring change in the heart. They're encouraging people to simply get along with each other. They are preaching a message of Christian compromise. Do you think that I accept the sin in people's lives and excuse it by saying that's just how they are and that I need to pray for them? If these churches would let me speak, I would say, grow up. Grow up. Open your eyes. See me for who I am. See me for what I can do in you. Experience my fullness. Stop listening to these voices that speak without wisdom. These voices that speak without anointing. These voices that speak without intimacy with me. There are very few churches that are truly doing what I want them to do. Think about what my Son said. Think about what happened. You see, there are many, many that preach a gospel of action. There are many in churches that teach a gospel of do. And there should be action, and there should be do. My Son had action. My Son did. My servant Paul, there was action. And he did. But what was the difference? The difference was they knew who I was. They knew me. And they had intimacy with me. And the actions and the do were birthed out of the intimacy. And what they did was exactly what I wanted them to do. The gospel is not simply about doing something. It is not simply about reaching out to minister to those in need and touching their lives. Doing those things is not bad. And those things should be done. But I want you growing in me. I don't want you to become comfortable in what you're doing. I don't want you to feel good about yourself because of your actions. What I want you to do is conform to the image of my Son. I want you to know my heart. I want you to grow. I want you to be a reflection of me in your action and in your doing. Some of you have friends and family members that are involved in some of these churches. You have friends that are involved in some of these churches. Let my anointing be the shield. Do not let them bring you down. I have much to say, and I will be saying more in the days to come. But know this, the only reason that I can speak these things in this place tonight is because there are hearts prepared and ready to hear this. Many of you may have a tendency to view this as a long, long word of rebuke. But I want you to know that it takes a certain level of spiritual maturity to hear such a word. You are headed in the right direction. There are some of you that you're standing on rock and a part of your foot is standing on sand. But for the most part, you are facing in the right direction. Some of you, your progress is swift, and some your progress is slow because of what you are or are not doing. But for the most part, you are facing in the right direction. And for that, I commend you. I am pleased with that. You be encouraged. Oh, be encouraged tonight. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Because there are people out there who someday are going to come to some of you, and they are going to see you as their only hope for true, genuine change in their walk with me. And because of your walk with me, I will be able to work through you and touch their lives and help them. So don't stop. Don't stop where you are. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going further and further into me. It's people like you that are my only hope in the world. So don't stop. Keep going. Keep going. Keep walking deeper into my glory. And oh, the things that await you. So be encouraged this night. You are part of the few. And the path you're on is getting narrower and narrower. But after all, my son did speak of these things, did he not? So rejoice this night that I would look upon you and see you ready for things like this. See you ready for admonitions and exhortations of this nature. For there are not that many churches wherein I could say these things. And I would say this, you bless me with your worship. Oh, how you bless me with your worship. I take joy in the times when you get together to worship me, because I know what is headed in my direction. And so again, you bless me with your worship.
For I've said in my word that I am working in you to will and to do of my good pleasure. Now I would like you to think of a house that is being built. I would like you to think of this house being built from the ground up. This house first has to have a very strong, a very firm foundation on which it can be built. And this foundation must be able to support the structure that's being constructed. And as the house is being built, the floor is laid, the walls are raised, you have the frame, you have the rooms that are walled in. And the end result is a house wherein people can live. Now think about when the day comes that the house is complete and the people are able to move in. Do they move only part of what they have in the house and leave some of the furniture outside? No. Everything they have, everything about them is moved into that house. And that house becomes a dwelling place of who they are and what they have. Again, I have said that I am working in you to will and to do of my good pleasure. But I would want you to know that I do not construct the house wherein I dwell. You see, you are the ones who build the place wherein I dwell. Have I not said in my word that you build yourselves up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost? Have I not said in my word that you edify yourselves by praying in the Spirit? You see, you must build the place wherein I dwell. The foundation is laid the moment that you accept my Son Jesus Christ, because He is the foundation on which your structure can be built. And I have even spoken of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. However, there are many people who have been using very shoddy building material to construct this house. The foundation is firm, but what they're using to build upon the foundation is very weak. It can be damaged. It can fall. But I have said in my word that if you will build your lives with my word, with the things that I have said in my word, that the structure you build will be a structure that will not fall down. That is the structure wherein I dwell. Now, the houses that are built, when I move into them, just as people move into a house and they bring the furniture in one room at a time, and eventually everything about who they are and what they have is in that house, the same thing is true in the realm of the Spirit. As you build a house, when it becomes firm, when it becomes ready for habitation, I begin to move in. And bit by bit, I move more of myself in. And as much as you have that house built, as much as it is habitable for everything I am and everything I have, that is as much of me that I can move in. Now, the goal of this, I've already told you in my word. The goal is that you become vessels fit for my glory and my honor. And the more that your vessel is fit, the more of my glory is going to dwell within you. For have I not said that it is Christ in you, the hope of glory? However, there are many who have been deceived by what they see on the outside. They have looked at the lives of other people and have come to the conclusion that those people are constructing vessels that are going to be filled with glory. Because of things that these people have said, there has been a deception that has deceived many. And this deception has caused many to believe that there are vessels wherein great volumes of my glory has been deposited, or that more of my glory is being deposited. But I would have you know that you cannot go by these impressions. For has not my Son said to you that the tree will bear the fruit, and that you will know the tree by the fruit it bears? I say anyone can put on a show for man. But I look beyond the external to the internal. And there are those among you this day. They are building houses wherein my glory can occupy. And more rooms in those houses are being filled, being finished. But there are some, they have a structure on a foundation, but they are limiting the amount of me and my glory which can occupy that structure. They have reached a certain point in their walk with me, and for all intents and purposes, they have stopped. They have become distracted by things external. They have become distracted by other situations and circumstances, and they have allowed themselves to put a hold on the construction. In some cases, they have actually torn down support walls that could have contained my glory. They've gone backwards. This is happening all over, but there are those all over this world who are building structures wherein my glory can be contained. Vessels of honor, vessels of glory. These are the people through whom I'm going to be able to work. The stage is being set for great offense in my church. There are those who are on the right path, but they have stopped. Some have regressed. And because of this, they have allowed their emotions to dominate more than what they realize. And they have become prime targets for offense. If they hear words of correction, words of admonition, their immediate response that they will feel on the inside is to be upset at what they are hearing, because they are convinced they are beyond this. But I am telling you this day, if you will do what you need to do, what I have shown you in my word, to continue building the structure that is habitable for me and my glory. You're going to experience more of me than you ever have. And it will come from the inside out. And I will be able to use you in ways that you have not yet imagined. And there are few in my church that are like this. Very few. But those who will do what they know to do, I will be able to use them. Remember what my son said. I stand at the door and knock. Well, it is true that I call the lost to my son. But it is also true that I knock on the heart door of those who are in my church, asking them to let me in, to let me do what I can do, but they must prepare the way. You see, your religion has taught you that I will just do these things. Oh, how you have been deceived. You have been taught that I'll move sovereignly to deposit my glory into a vessel. These people that have told you these things, that have preached these kinds of messages, that have led so many to believe this, there is a day of chastisement awaiting them. But I say unto you, do not listen to those words, for I will not sovereignly deposit anything into you that you do not receive from me. You must prepare the vessel. I already have the glory to fill the vessel. Consider the tires on your car. If the tires have holes, it matters not how much air you put in that tire, because the tire is not able to contain the air. But if you patch those holes, then the tire will be able to contain all the air you put in it. Likewise, I have all the glory that you could ever contain. But the vessel must be constructed. And as it is, more and more of my glory will be poured into you. Now I say this to encourage you and to challenge you to examine your own life. For there are some of you who are here this day who have allowed things to slip. And I say, it is not too late. These things can be corrected. Stop letting the feelings, the emotions, the conditions, the circumstances of other people influence you. Stop letting these things cloud your mind and your judgment. Think of me as the only person who is truly the most valuable in your life. For you see, I am the only one who can work the spiritual work that needs to be done. So be encouraged and be challenged. Examine yourself and make a decision. Do you want more of my glory? And if you do, it is there for you. But you must build a house. And if you build it, I will fill it. I will fill it. No matter who you are, no matter where you've come from, I will fill it. You have been walking in confusion for many years. He is going to minister to you today, and if that you will receive from Him what He is going to give you, then today will mark the beginning of you walking out of that confusion. He said walking in this confusion is what has led to a lot of the problems that you've had, things that have come up over the years in church. And He said, but my intention is to lead you out of all of that and to bring stability into your life and into your walk with me. So He says, listen closely this day to how I will minister to you. And if you receive from me, then today truly will mark the beginning, a new beginning in your walk with me. Your worship is a step in the direction of my presence. Your worship is as a conveyor belt that will draw you further into me. Your worship is something that not even the angels can duplicate.
For you see, the angels do not have me as their Savior, so they cannot worship me as their Savior, but you can. There are many who have dismissed the value of worship. There are many who have discounted what worship can do. And I would have you think of the songs that you sing during the season of my birth. You sing, "O come, let us adore Him." You sing, "Hail the heaven-born Prince." You sing about worship. You sing, "Gloria in Excelsis Deo." You sing so many songs during the season of my birth that are actually instructing you to worship me. Now I would challenge you this day. Pay close attention to what you sing and receive instruction from yourself. For as you sing, "O come, let us adore Him," you should adore me. As you sing about praising me and worshiping me, you should do that. Pay attention to what you sing and practice what you're instructing yourself to do, and you will find the place in me that you have longed to experience. For there is a place in me that can only be experienced through worship. If you'll worship, you will find that place. And for those who discover it, they are going to experience a dimension of me that will go beyond their wildest expectation. Worship yourself into the deepest level of my glory that you possibly can. Worship yourself into the place of my presence. Let your worship be that thing that brings you in. You worship me, and you'll find me. This is the season wherein you celebrate my birth. Much is made over my birth. Much is said. And yes, my birth is very important. But I was born into the world with the life of the Father. You were not. And just as you celebrate and rejoice to recognize the day of my birth, I want you to know that where I am, there is also rejoicing. But it is not over my birth. It is over the moment that you accepted me as your Savior and you became born. For you see, I have always existed, but until you became born again, you did not exist with me. So think about the celebrations. Think about the joy. Think about the parties. Think about all the things that you do in this season. All the happiness, all the excitement, and magnify that beyond your imagination, for that is what we feel in heaven when you come to be born again. You celebrate my birth, but I want you to know we celebrate yours. Here's what I'm seeing and hearing. It's like there is this blank being released. It's like it's resting on people. And the Lord says, "I am going to reward your diligence and your faithfulness tonight, and I am going to lay upon you another layer of my anointing and glory. And when you leave this place tonight, you will carry it with you.